Proverbs chapter 24, verses 11 and 12. And in honor of God's word, why don't we stand while I read these two verses? Proverbs 24, 11 and 12. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? As I was reading these verses of scripture last month in my devotions, it came upon me that the greatest need that man has is not clothing, is not housing, is not even education. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here today. We're not here just to fill a time in a calendar. But I hope that in this hour, God will impress upon your heart, as he did as I was reading this, the need to tell others of Jesus Christ. In this passage, I find the human side and the divine response to lost souls around the world. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his leadership as we preach the word tonight. Father, thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for the blessing it is to be in our home church, Worth Baptist Church. Thank you for the pastor, Dr. Weaver. Thank you for the people. Lord, just thank you for being able to call this place home. And Lord, we pray that tonight you'll meet with us. It's not important what I say, but it is important, thus saith the Lord. So Lord, help me to preach according to your will. And as we leave this place, help us to say, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Two aspects about lost souls around the world. The first aspect I want you to notice is the Christian and lost souls. And we see that in verses 11 and 12. I want you to notice in verse 11, if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain. You see, our responsibility is to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain. So if you want to write down under the Christian and lost souls, the first thing would be responsibility. It is our responsibility as a Christian to tell others of Christ. In Spanish, the word deliver is there, but also the word save. You see, in Spanish it would say, if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and save those that are ready to be slain. And in English, it's already understood that to deliver those that are ready to be slain. And by just reading these verses, we know that it's your responsibility, my responsibility, to tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are those that are drawn unto death, like it says in verse 11? Well, the Bible says in James 4:14 that our life is like a vapor that appeareth for a little while, a little time, and then vanisheth away. Folks, anybody that is living on this earth is bound to be drawn to death. There's no one here that can say that tomorrow you'll be alive. I remember in one occasion in Mexico, as a young man, his father was in the hospital, and he asked me to go see his father. His father was not saved. I had gone to meet his father in the hospital. I was able to win him to the Lord. And I was leaving the hospital. My wife called me and she said, did you get the word? And that man that I just won to the Lord had gone out into eternity. We do not know when our time of death will come. Who is ready to be slain, as it says in verse 11? Really, the word means who is ready to be separated from their body, to die. You see, death really means separation. If you have your Bibles, just keep one finger there in Proverbs and go to Genesis chapter 35. In Genesis 35, I found a verse of scripture in verse 18 that really describes what death is all about. Here we see the death of Rachel as she is giving birth to Benjamin. And as she is dying, the Bible says in verse 18, Genesis 35, 18, "And it came to pass as her soul was departing, for she died." You see, physical death is the separation of our soul and body. When the soul departs, you will be dead. Your body will be disposed of, but your soul will go to one or two places. If you have received Christ as your Savior, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8 that absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I am looking for the Lord's return. But if he does not return and I die, I know that I will be with him because I have trusted him as my Savior. Now, you will either be present with God or you will be separated from God as the rich man in Luke 16, 23. You see, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, if you are not saved, if death were to come, there would be that separation of soul and body. But then you would be eternally separated from God. The rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments. That's what we call the second death. So you see, death really means separation. Physical death, and then we have spiritual death, or the second death. The first being the separation of the soul from the body, and the second being the separation of the soul from God. So you see, our responsibility is to deliver those that are drawn unto death. And by the way, all of us are drawn unto death because the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short," are separated from the glory of God. Every soul without Christ is ready to be slain, ready to go out into eternity without Christ, without God, without hope. And our responsibility is to tell them of Jesus Christ. So you see, this is what happens when a person realizes that they are a sinner. And the Bible says that we've all sinned. And that they're separated from God. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, separation. And they trust Christ as their Savior. And as they trust Christ as their Savior, that wall of separation comes down. I think there's one verse of Scripture that really describes what happens when a person gets saved, and that is in John chapter 5 and verse 24. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." And notice, "and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death," separation, "unto life." Are you saved tonight? Do you know that you are saved? Do you know that there is nothing that can come between you and the love of God, that God, the love that God has toward you, because Jesus Christ is your Savior? My friend, if you're here today and you realize that you're separated from God, you realize that there has never truly been a time that you've accepted Christ as your personal and only Savior, I hope that tonight will be the night that you would get saved. So we must do and our responsibility, we must fulfill our responsibility, and our responsibility is to tell others. The church in Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, it says that daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So we must go and tell others. We must go and tell others here in our locale, or send someone to tell others where we cannot go. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 14 it says, "And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And then verse 15 it says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" My friend, our responsibility is to get the gospel out to the lost and dying soul. Those that are alive right now but on their way to hell, it is our responsibility to tell them of Jesus Christ. Now, that is part one of the human side of the lost soul, or the Christian looking at the lost soul. But the second part that I want you to notice in verse 11 and 12 is that there is a refrain or a refusal to obey Christ in many Christians. Look in verse 11. The first part it says, if thou forbear. Now the word forbear means to abstain, to refrain, to hold back on a responsibility. You and I have that responsibility. I do not believe that there is one person here that has been under the sound of the gospel at Worth Baptist Church that would doubt that we have a responsibility of telling others of Jesus Christ. And yet, why is it that so many refrain from telling others? Many will say that they did not know. Look in verse 12. It says, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not. But how is it that we receive the gift of eternal life and actually say, I didn't know I should share it? You know, just humanly speaking, you get a gift and you're dying to show the gift off. I mean, you get a new watch and you're asking everybody, what time is it? You want others to see your watch. I mean, in Mexico, I gave this example one time. A woman gets new shoes, and it seems like they put something on those shoes so they'll go clippity-clop more, you know, louder. They want others to see the shoes. You get a new hat, and you stand a foot taller. You just about float. Especially those of us that don't have much here to cover, we like new hats. But the thing is that how is it that you and I receive the gift of eternal life and do not share it? You see, it's an odd thing. Jesus in his ministry told many people, please do not tell anybody. And they would go and announce it anyways. Now Jesus tells us, go and tell. And we refuse to own up to our responsibility. Jesus told Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we do know and testify that we have seen. I really believe that a lot of people do not share their faith in Jesus Christ because there is no faith in Christ. There is nothing to tell. Because if we really genuinely have repented of our sin, have trusted Christ as our Savior, there is something in us that wants to tell others of Jesus Christ. I'm afraid there are a lot of people that are not really saved. In Mexico, just last week, I preached a missions conference. And on Sunday morning, I preached a message. And a lady that had been in our church for years, she was a preacher's daughter, a Sunday school teacher, a leader in a Good News Bible Club. She sang in the choir. She went on visitation. But on Sunday morning, she raised her hand saying, Brother Jones, I'm not saved. She got saved, and I asked her, her name is Marta, and Marta Guerra, and I said, Marta, what's going on? And she said, Brother Jones, I have been in church all my life, but today I realized I have never truly been saved. I want you to know that no one should ever say, I did not know I should tell others. If you're one of those today, I hope that you're not saying, I don't have time to win souls. Because Ecclesiastes 3:1 says that there is a time to every purpose under the heaven. If you purpose in your heart to tell others, you'll have the time to tell others. I hope that you're not the type that would say, I cannot win souls. Because Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I hope you're not the one of those who can say, well, you know, I cannot give to missions, when the Bible clearly states that you and I should take the gospel to the whole world. And if I cannot go, I must send someone in my stead. So we've seen our responsibility, and we've seen how Christians a lot of times reject their responsibility. I want you to see God in souls now. We've seen man in souls. Now look at God in souls. You see, in verse 12, God has a response. He responds to what man says. And in verse 12, he says, and remember, in the first part it says, behold, we knew it not. And here comes a response that God has. It says, "Doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it?" First he says that he considers it. And then he knows it. You see, God discovers the way of thinking that a lot of people have. What do you really think about souls? What do you really think about the lost without Christ? You see, Job says, "There's no thought that can be withholden from thee." There's nothing that you and I are thinking. Oh, some might be thinking already, "Well, I hope he finishes early so we can go see the game." But you see, God knows what we're thinking. What do you really think about lost souls? And please do not think for one moment that God does not know your attitude towards souls. God discovers a Christian's way of thinking, and then he discerns what really is weighty or what is important in our hearts. Look in verse 12, the second part. It says, "Doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it?" Now, this is where in Spanish it's a little bit better than in English. I had to look up that word ponder. Now, here in Texas, ponder means to really think on something. But in the Hebrew, it says that it means to measure out by weight or dimension. In other words, what God is saying is, I am seeing what really weighs in your heart. In Spanish, instead of the word ponder, it says, "Doth not he that weighs your heart consider it?" And God is weighing what we really think is important. You see, God is not talking about the normal weight of a heart, which they say is between 9 and 11 ounces. But what he's talking about is what really matters in your life. That's why God says in Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Don't look now, but whatever you think is important is what you will do. It's not what you say that you believe. It's what you do. It's what you really ultimately believe. What do you think today? What do you really feel is important? Because you see, what you do preaches louder than what you say. If I take away time from God that I know belongs to Him, I'm showing God what really matters. I really do not understand about why people have a problem with Sunday. Because you see, Sunday is God's day. And I owe that day to Him. If I take money from what is God's, I'm really showing God what's important. You see, the problem is that God not only knows what we're thinking, but He knows what's really important in our lives. What's really important? If on your way to home and on your rushing back so you can watch the game, someone were to ask you, "Would you take time to lead me to Christ?" Would that soul be important? So he not only discovers our way of thinking, discerns what is weighty in our hearts, but he also defends our soul. There's a phrase here that it really took me a while to understand. Look at this phrase. He said, "He that keepeth thy soul, doth he not know it?" And I was pondering on that one. You know, I was really thinking on that one. And then it hit me. You see, God is telling a Christian, "I want you to deliver. I want you to save those that are bound for hell. Those that are dying without Christ. And if you think I didn't know it, you know you knew it. If you have other things that are more important in your heart, I know it. But he says, I want you to think on one thing. I keep your soul. You one day were that sinner going to hell. You were one day where that sinner that did not have God, did not have hope, someone gave you the gospel and you repented of your sin, you trusted Christ. And as you trusted Christ, you realized that salvation was eternal, that it was forever. And God is saying, hey, I keep your soul. Boy, I'm glad he does, because I lose everything in this world. I mean, this morning I couldn't find my keys. My mom used to say, if your head wasn't attached to your body, you'd lose it. I'm glad that I don't keep my salvation. I'm glad he keeps it. And he is keeping it, and he's saying, hey, I keep your salvation. Aren't you concerned about others that do not have that security? Don't you understand that if I keep your soul safe, wouldn't you want others to be saved also? So you see, we have the Christian's responsibility in how we refuse, and then God's response. But last of all, I want you to notice something else that God is going to do. It's the last part of verse 12. It says, and shall not he render to every man according to his works? You have God's response, and now you have God's rendering. Someday, folks, God will reward or require from our hands what we've done and what we haven't done for Christ. You see, the context of our verse is not salvation. God is not saying, I'm going to weigh out your works and see if it's okay if you get to heaven or not. He's talking about a Christian. He's talking about someone that whose soul God keeps. He's talking to us. And he's saying to us, don't you realize that someday you're going to be before God, and I'm going to reward you or require from you, but you are going to render to me what you've done in your life, especially concerning souls. If you win souls, just jot the verse of scripture down, Daniel chapter 12 verse 3. Some people think that this verse of scripture speaks of stars in your crown. Others think that maybe because you have, and this is literally what it says, you have turned many to righteousness, that God's going to put you in a prominent place in his kingdom. I do not know what it really means, but I do know one thing. God will reward those of us that are concerned for lost souls. Are you concerned for lost souls? Are you doing something about lost souls? But then the other side of the coin, in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 6, God says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, you're a watchman. And if you see the sword coming, and you blow the trumpet, and you warn the people, if they die, they have died in spite of what you've warned them. But, he says, if the sword come and take any person from among them, and you do not blow the trumpet, he is taken away in his iniquity. He will die. He will go to hell. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. I really do not know, Brother Weaver, what that means. Some people think that literally we will have the blood on our hands of those that we could have witnessed to, and we did not. Others think that we will be summoned at the great white throne judgment, not to be judged, but to see those that we could have won judged and thrown into the lake of fire. Again, I do not understand it, but I do know that God will require from me what I could have done, and I didn't. You see, folks, God wants you and me to be a witness for him. If I participate, then God will reward. If I say, I've got more important things to do, God will require it. So you see, God's response is simply, you know that you should, will you? If you don't, someday you're going to wish you did. If you're here without Christ, I hope you understand that Jesus does love you. Yesterday, Pastor and I were out visiting, and I won a Hispanic lady from Guanajuato to the Lord. As we were talking, I told her why Jesus Christ is the only Savior. You see, Mohammed might be a great prophet, but he cannot save you because he did not die for your sins. He was not buried. He did not rise again over death. I remember witnessing to a Muslim in Mexico, and he had a pizza place and had a big long name, but we would just call him Kami because that's how his name started. But Kami, and so we just called him Kami. And Kami, I would witness to him. I'd tell him about Christ, and he would reject. And one day, I think he tried to get on the good side of me. He came up to my table and he said, "Donnie, we have a God just like you got. You have God, we have Allah." And he just stood there and smiled. And I smiled back up at him. He said, you have a holy book. Your book is the Bible. Our is the Quran." And he smiled at me. He said, "Danny, you have a prophet. Your prophet is Jesus Christ. Our prophet is Muhammad. See, we're the same." I said, "Oh, Kami, we're not the same." He said, "Why not?" I said, "You see, the difference between your prophet and my prophet is you can go to Jerusalem and see where my prophet was buried, but he rose again the third day. And he hung his head literally, and he says, our prophet still does not raise from the dead." And he was very sad. "Oh, Mary cannot save you because she did not die for your sins. The church cannot save you because the church cannot die for your sins. The only person that can die, that can save you, is the one who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. He is the only Savior. He's the only mediator between God and man." Are you saved tonight? If you're not saved, would you get saved? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I would just like to ask three questions tonight. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? How many of us tonight would say, "Brother Danny, I'm so glad that one day, one night, one morning, someone explained to me that I was a sinner, that I was bound for hell, and that Jesus Christ was the only one that could save me, and I trusted Him, and I am so glad that I am saved"? Raise your hand tonight. How many of us can say that? Keep your hand up way up high. Never be ashamed of telling others, "I'm a Christian." Praise the Lord. You may put your hand down. Most of us could raise our hand, and I am so glad that if you're saved, you could raise your hand. Is there someone here tonight that would say, "Brother Danny, I'm not really saved"? It doesn't matter if you're a member. It doesn't matter if you're religious. What matters is you know in your heart that you're separated from God because of your sin. You know in your heart that if you were to die right now, you would not go to heaven. You would not be with Him because you're already separated from Him. You'd go to hell. You would say with an uplifted hand, "Brother Danny, I need to get saved. I'm not saved. Would you pray for me?" Is there someone like that? Would you just raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you. We're not going to tarry long. If you'll just raise your hand, let me see it. When I see it, I'll say, "God bless you," and you can put your hand down. I'll pray for you. Is there someone? "Brother Danny, I need to get saved." Is there someone? A young person, an adult, a child. Would you get saved tonight? I want to ask the last question then. I did not see any hands, but I do want to ask one more question. How many of us tonight would say, "Brother Danny, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I'm glad that God keeps my soul. But lately I haven't really cared for lost souls. I haven't participated in winning souls. I haven't participated in telling others. God has given me opportunity after opportunity, and I haven't taken advantage of it. And you'd say tonight, Brother Danny, I know right my responsibility, but I'm sort of like the person there in Proverbs. I've been given excuses. When I need is just to obey. Would you pray for me? Is there someone like that? Pray for me that I'd get more involved. God bless you. God bless you. More involved in telling others. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Folks, the greatest thing in this earth is to know that you're saved. And I think the greatest tragedy is to know that we're saved and not share with others the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. Father, as we stand, help us to realize our responsibility. Help us not to refuse it. Help us not to give excuses. You are the one that looks into our mind, our heart. You really give us the greatest reason to tell others. You have saved us, and you keep us. Help us to tell others. Maybe there's someone here tonight that needs to get saved. Lord, please touch their heart. Help them to get saved. Maybe there's some Christian that should come to the altar and say, God, I want to get more involved. And help it not just to be an emotion. Help them to get up and get involved with the visitation program. Start telling their neighbors about Christ before it's too late. Help us. Lord, help us to get involved in Jesus' name.